to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hello to our Where Brains Meet Beauty listeners, and hello, Eleni, our VP of Client Success at Base Beauty.
Hi, Jodi. Nice to see you.
Well, Eleni, before we dive into today's episode, we have something truly special to talk about.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk about this. Our team recently partnered with Clairol, one of our clients, to bring their second annual Hispanic Heritage Month celebration to life. And it was such an honor to really activate this moment from concept to content. This was our second year being part of it and an event activation we're really proud of.
We do a lot of these really big cultural moments for Clairol. And our goal here was to create an event that felt really personal, very elevated, and completely inspired by heritage. We hosted this at TAN, a luxury dining lounge in New York City, inspired by Tulum, and every detail reflected warmth, connection, and culture.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The night started with a paint and sip led by A1 Art Studio, a Dominican female-owned business in Williamsburg. Guests were able to paint cacti, a symbol of resilience, survival, and connection to the land.
Everyone looked amazing doing it in custom Clairol aprons, protecting those fabulous outfits while creating something meaningful together.
Yeah, after that, they had some dinner, and it was a three-course experience infused with Mexican-inspired flavors, signature cocktails. One of my favorite pieces were the custom Clairol ice cubes, and conversation flowing in both English and Spanish all night long. It was lively, it was genuine, it was full of heart.
And the conversation was about heritage, right? So there are heritage story cards and conversation prompts that sparked beautiful exchanges among the guests.
Another detail we loved was the After the Tone phone, where creators left voice messages about their heritage and what inspires them about their hair. And those messages will be woven into future Clairol content that our team will help to bring to life on social media.
I love that. The decor was insane. The photos really are amazing. We'll post them to LinkedIn. The decor was by Rose Florals. Brought it all together. Fresh fruits, woven textures, giant HHM letters that set the celebratory tone. The feedback from the creators that were in the room was incredible. Everyone was sharing their gratitude and joy all over social.
Yeah, it was really such an authentic moment. It was more than just an event, and we heard this from the creators that we had there. It's a genuine space. Creators came, they could celebrate their heritage, their community, their artistry. It was beautiful.
What a great segue to our conversation today on the podcast, how authenticity carries through into all the storytelling.
Yes, today we are joined by Jess Martinez and Kirti Tiwani, two incredible content creators who are redefining what it means to show up as your true self in beauty.
This is a lovely conversation. They open up about identity, creativity, and using their platforms to honor culture and connection, the very same themes we celebrated with Clairol that night.
Yeah, it really is the perfect continuation of that conversation. Storytelling meets personal heritage, and it feels really real and it resonates.
With Jess, we also got into balancing content creation with a full-time job. So, you know, you're really a peek behind the curtain of what it takes to be a creator today.
Let's get into it. This is episode 296 of Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jess Martinez and Kirti Tiwani.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. We're excited to discuss all things content with Jess Martinez, influencer and content creator, and Kirti Tiwani, influencer and content creator. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so excited.
This is our artistry and influencer theme, the wisdom behind the craft. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this today. We're going to start in the beginning of your career journey. And for most of us, it starts in our daydreams, you know, when we're like 10 or 11 years old. Mm-hmm. So Jess, we'll start with you. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, I wanted to be a dancer, like on stage, you know, background dancer for some famous artist, but I never took a single dance class. So yeah, me and my brother used to like make songs and dance and perform at like our school, elementary school and stuff like that. I thought that was like so cool when I was a kid, yeah.
And never took a dance class?
No, I finally took one a couple years ago, and I was like, okay, yeah, no, not for me.
Kirti, what was your dream?
I actually wanted to be an air attendant. But I wasn't allowed to go to friends' house alone, so it wasn't happening either.
Why? What do you mean?
I grew up in a very strict family, so I was very, like, protected. And I grew up in India, and then my family moved to Spain, so my parents were very strict. And I do understand, like, now looking back, like, the reasons of why they were so strict. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wasn't, like, allowed. I didn't have a lot of freedom growing up, essentially.
So the dream was to not hit the road, but hit the skies.
Yes, because I think, and the part of the reason I wanted to do that, because I knew that involved a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. and it was like my way of looking and visualizing my future self to be free.
And was there any sort of sneaky way you tried to do this?
Oh, yeah, I did. And I was just told, stop trying.
When I was a little kid, I told my parents that I wanted to be an archaeologist. And they said no. Can you believe this? You want to hear what came next? Because you're not going to make any money. So this is like the 10-year-old Jody, right? That's kind of sad. But I feel like I'm an anthropologist now, right? As a marketer, mm-hmm. right? We're sort of like digging for insights about cultures.
It's fair.
So, but I don't want to go back to school, but I think maybe like in my second act, I'll just join a dig. You know, they need volunteers, right? Out in the desert in the heat, digging for dinosaur bones,
I think,
or something.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
You know, I do have something to add to it. So they did have a point. But as a 10-year-old, you know, the approach to say things should have been a little different.
Yes.
Yeah.
My philosophy now as a parent is more like Barbie, I can be anything, right? And Barbie is everything. Yes. She's had every job.
100%.
Right? So, okay, let's move a little bit further into today. Jess, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. You are a creator and you have a full-time job outside of the creator world. So tell me about the dynamic of actually balancing both of these things.
Yeah, so to go back to when it started, I actually had a very hard time with the transition. I like to say that I accidentally became a content creator. I was doing it for fun. For years, people had said, oh, Jess, you should make hair content. Even back when I was in college, I was like, no, we don't need another black girl making hair content on YouTube. Like, there's enough videos. Like, I just felt like it was oversaturated, which a lot of people will say. And then my brain thing. I work in hyperfocus and I do random things and I like get on things and I get off of them. And so I decided I wanted to make some hair videos and I was like so excited for 3 months. I was just casually posting and I had this very viral moment and I went to work the next day and I was so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was in, there's a paranoia that can come from your video getting 46 million views in 2.5 weeks and you having to like walk around and you're like, am I okay? You know, it's like, it's this very out of body experience that I don't think a lot of people talk about. And so then I had to wrestle with this idea of going to work because I have a career, right? I went to school and got a degree in criminal justice and I work in that field and my passion is to help people. And then here I am getting thrown into this, like feels like Spartan kicked into this whole other world where I'm getting introduced to so many different new things. And so that was, it took a lot of grounding work, a lot of good community members, like my best friend, like, just don't read the comments, you know, like, or hey, like I'm out, they're like, put your phone down, you need to be present, or you know, just learning how to unplug. And over time it finally became a dance of, okay, you do your more intense work, community work during the day, and then after that you have some fun and you let that creative outlet happen. But that transition was not easy for me, I'm not gonna lie about that.
We're gonna come back to this first viral moment and you walking back into the office, but Curtie, let's start same question for you. How did you move into this world as a creator, and then how did you also decide like this is your focus?
So I, again, wasn't trying to be a creator. I'm a makeup artist by profession, and that's what I did even after I moved to New York. And I had a pretty successful career doing that, but then I had kids. And I started saying a lot of no's to travel jobs. And unfortunately, all the jobs that pay a decent amount were all traveling jobs, all catalogs that did require me to leave my kid. And that was just like, I did not feel comfortable. And even the local job, the everyday bread and butter, we call it in the industry, the e-commerce jobs, because I moved to Westchester, it was like, okay, now I have an hour and a half of commute door to door, sometimes even more. And then you do the 7-8 hours of work and then you go back. I didn't see my child the whole day. And that was just like, okay, I don't think this is sustainable long term. Or at least as a mother, I did not want to choose that for me and my kids. So I started digging into things. And then the pandemic hit. The world was at a pause. And for a year, year and a half, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was like, I'm going to start a supplement brand because everybody's taking supplements during the pandemic. So I did. And I'm very blessed that I ended up, within just a couple of months, having one of the best sellers on Amazon for Sleep Aid that gave me the data that America cannot sleep. Mm-hmm. But then I got stuck in the supply chain. And I was still just making videos because someone said, I was like, I need more marketing ideas. And someone said, look at this founder, look at that founder. They are on social media trying to sell their own products, and that's what you should do. So prior to this, I had tried to be an influencer, but of course that failed really, really badly. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give TikTok a shot. And just like, you know, you said, I suddenly randomly started getting orders. I posted a video and I forgot about it. And 3 days later, I have all these orders on my site. I'm like, this has to be coming from somewhere. And then I go log on TikTok. And of course, one of the video went viral. And that's where the orders were. And that's where I realized, like, this especially TikTok, the power of TikTok, the power of social media. And then I was just having fun. I didn't know what to create, so I would just go through the comment section and find people's questions, because I was mostly focused on Ayurveda and well-being that time. And I would just put out the Ayurvedic perspective on a lot of those questions. And it just kept hitting milestones. And I went from like nothing to 80,000 followers in less than 30 days.
Yeah.
And that's when I started taking social media a little bit more seriously. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to dig into the minutiae of this because it's really fascinating, right? This is not a career where there's like you can look a generation ahead and see how people did it, right? Mm-hmm. It's incredibly unique to this time period we're in, and the systems that are in place, let's say for like Hollywood personalities, they're just being built now, right? So Jess, I want to go back to this moment. I mean, when I see you, of course you have to make hair videos. Like your hair is so incredible.
Thank
you. So you make this piece of content, all of a sudden it explodes. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you're the regular Jess every day, right?
Yeah.
At work. Okay. So let's talk about that dynamic. You're feeling this sort of hyper focus on like that you're so exposed out there.
Yeah.
Do your coworkers know about this at that point?
Yeah, because so many people saw it. So yeah, they all saw it too. There was a moment where I was just kind of head down at my desk and somebody walked by and was like, Jess, you're trending on Twitter. And I said, I don't have a Twitter. So I don't even, and there's like this whole conversation because that moment, it sparked a really big conversation. Like it bigger than what I would say me, right? Bigger than my hair, but about the community and images and all these other things and what's the image of beauty. And so over time, I think people at my agency got used to it. And it comes, like new staff comes in every once in a while and they're like, look, like what is going on here? But then eventually like someone tells them or they find out or I pop up on their For You page. Mm-hmm. And then they tell me like a month later, by the way, when I started, like I saw your face pop up on my phone. I'm like, isn't that the girl from work? and now it's like very normal. Like my agency is very supportive and they know about it and it hasn't brought me any issues, which I'm very thankful for, because a lot of people can't say that. Like they'll have social media and then their employer's like, oh, you gotta go, you know. So thankfully that hasn't been the case for me. So
I want to come back to talking about like becoming a public figure. Mm-hmm. Right, which is really what we're going to be talking about for both of you. So Kirti, you made this decision that like there's got to be a better way to have a career, right? We've had a lot of makeup artists on the show through the years, and it is really astounding to me, like you as a makeup artist or a hairstylist, you don't know where you're working tomorrow. Right? This is a really hard way to navigate life if you have other priorities, right? And I ask that question of the people who are at the, you know, highest levels of their career, where they're traveling around, you know, on the same private jet with the same, you know, talent all the time. They really can't have a personal life, right? They miss the weddings and the special occasions for their friends and family. So you've made this decision and you like sort of found this niche that felt authentic to you. When did you see that this was becoming a business as a creator, not just selling supplements?
So it was a very interesting turning point, and I had to kind of make a decision and pivot in one direction. And brands started reaching out to me organically. I never did the outreach early on in my career because I was just too focused on selling my own supplements. Mm-hmm. And I had a few beauty brands reach out to me. I had multiple brands, and it was just like, anytime they would ask, how much do you charge? I had no idea. I would just put out a random number and they'd be like, yeah. So I went from like 200 to 2000 and everything was a yes. Mm-hmm. No one said no. And I was like, okay. And I reached to a point where I really tried very hard to get my bestseller back. Mm-hmm. It kept passing the test in India, but it kept failing the test here. And I was like, there's something shady there. And, you know, I just, my heart doesn't allow me to sell something that has so much arsenic mm-hmm. in it. And unfortunately, some of the herbs are grown in the wild, and there was some farming issues in India. So I was like, all right, I'm going to put this to a pause for now and try to focus on one thing. And I had a few really good friends, other beauty founders that I was able to connect with through my work that I picked their brains. And they were like, I don't think you're happy waking up at 3 a.m. and having these conversations with India, because that it seems like you're not satisfied mm-hmm. doing that either. So I decided to put a pause on that and like, all right, I'm going to give this content creation a full-time shot and see where it goes. And that was a time where they said TikTok might get banned. So I just downloaded a bunch of videos from TikTok because I already had the content. And I posted them on Instagram. And within a week, I went from 4,000 followers to 120,000 followers. And I was like, and all my friends were like, this happens on TikTok all the time. Mm-hmm. This never happens on Instagram. And I just disappeared from social media for a week because I couldn't digest, you know, so it was so relatable when you were saying, you can't, like, it was like, I don't know how to react to this because I'm not used to this. And the comment section, I think majority of the comment sections were two directions. One of them was like, why don't you color your hair? Mm-hmm. And the other one's like, you look like Mia Khalifa, which I still get all the time. And I had to like literally just put a pause and not open my either social medias because it was like very difficult to even understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm. So there's this world in our phones, and then there's the world that we walk through. And it sounds like they're different, right? You spoke about it, Joss, at the office, right? You do your office work and you have your office friends, and then there's this other world. And, you know, let's talk about being on the playground at pickup at school, right? Like you are mom out in the regular world. Are you in these situations where the boundaries between the world sort of dissolve? And you have people coming up to you, you know, on the playground or at the soccer games.
Yeah, I've had people come up to me in the car pickup line, like the mom's there. I'm here like, hey, I know you. Or like school parking lots and playgrounds. And even like we had really nice art fair show and someone walked up to me like, you're Kirti, right?
Yeah.
So it's nice. And but at the same time, like my kids are always so confused because my kids have no presence on my social media. Mm-hmm. I do not share my personal life too much on social media. So they just are always like confused, like what, well, like who was that? I'm like, I don't know, but it seems like they're like mommy.
How old are they?
My son's 8 and my daughter's 6.
Oh, that's such a great age. So you are public figures now in this world, yes. Right? So this dynamic is brand new, like we talked about, right? We're used to, you know, Brad Pitt being in a movie and being known around the world, and everybody knows who he is, even my grandma, right? Now this is a world where like niche reigns, right? So Jess, like when you move through the world and you wake up in the morning, who are you?
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely just Jess everywhere I go. And I actually had a very interesting interaction with my current manager when we were kind of seeing like, hey, do we want to work together? And the biggest compliment that she gave me, which I don't know if she knows that, but it was, well, I wanted to work with you, Jess, because you're the same in person mm-hmm. as you are online. Mm-hmm. And that just was like the best compliment ever, right? And so when people meet me in person, they're like, oh wow, she's so like, she's actually really sweet and nice. And it's like, you know, people will say like my content's a breath of fresh air and mm-hmm. different things like that. And I, you know, there's times where I was just walking around the streets in New York and someone would stop me, hey, aren't you that girl? And or people like, you look familiar. I'm like, do I? I'm, you know, I just have one of those faces. Mm-hmm. Or just people like, hey, I follow you, can I get a picture? Mm-hmm. And that is such a very like, oh sure, like yeah, let's take a picture. And you know, they at you and they post it and you're like, that is interesting. So it's definitely like a dance, but for me, I feel normal. I feel like myself. I don't step in and out of it in like a weird way, but I do feel like there is a bit of a dance that I do when I'm, it's almost kind of like your authentic self or your personality coming out in different settings. You know, when you're at work, you're just professional. You know, you're, you know, when you're out, you're, it's a different type of professional. It's a more of, it's, I can talk more, I can be more myself, I can ask different questions. I have been trying to set boundaries, right, in the different spaces, because, you know, people know I have an e-commerce business. They know I do all these other things. They know I go out because my page is public, so they see my stories and they'll see my posts. And so sometimes I'm at work and people will come up to me with like questions about business. Like, hey, how can I start this LLC? Or hey, how can I do this? And I love to give people information and knowledge. But I'm like, hey, can we talk about this at lunch? Or okay, like, can you text me later? Let's set up a call after work. Because like here, I'm trying to stay grounded and focused in this work that I'm doing. And then I ended up starting a group at my agency for, it's called So You Want to Start a Business. Mm-hmm. It's for both the clients and the staff members, because anyone can attend a group. And so I go through just like the basics. I have my Prezi presentations and it's a lot of fun. And so every once in a while, a staff member will be like, hey, I actually have some questions, might come to the group. It's once a month. And that has also created a little bit more of like a better flow.
So Kirti, you said, you know, you don't share your personal life, right? It's just about you and the things that you're passionate about outside of family. Where do you get guidance and education on how to navigate this? Like, does your manager sort of guide you? Is there a resource that, you know, like a little book that people are reading about how to, I guess, stay true to yourself and your vision and your joy? Because I would imagine this becomes a very seductive world, right? Like the more hours you spend, the more results you get. But the more hours you spend doing this, the fewer you're spending doing something else that you might love.
You know, it's a very, I have been in some difficult situations where it's like, take this partnership where you can show your kids. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. And I just feel like kids do not belong on social media. I have, you know, I go into these reading dark holes sometimes, and I'm not sure if they're good for mental health, but I do them anyways. And I have seen like the dark side of people who, you know, put kids on social media, and not necessarily every time that would happen, but where it can go to. And I never want my kids to grow up and look at me like, you didn't think of this, mom? Like, mm-hmm. what were you doing? Mm-hmm. You know? And also, like, I've felt like lately, even like some family content creators have stopped showing faces of their kids just to kind of, because I never want to be in Target and someone, you know, my son just runs around somewhere and I am there and someone recognizes my son mm-hmm. and starts talking mm-hmm. to him and he has no idea of what's going on, because that would freak him mm-hmm. out. And I don't know what would that do to his confidence mm-hmm. or my daughter, you know. So I tried, that's like one of the biggest reasons, like I don't want people to know who my kids are, how they look like. Also, the type of content I share, it doesn't have anything to do with my family. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about wellness. It's about how you can take care of yourself and beauty hacks. Like, that's literally my content. I don't think it's necessary for me to show my kids for the type of content I put out there.
When you're faced with these moments of like, where do I stand on this? Who do you talk to?
I just have a lot of clarity in my brain, like, uh-huh. no. And I actually had to switch agencies because I was with an agent and she was very understanding. But once in a while, she would bring like, well, you know, if you ever change your mind, And I think after hearing it enough times, I was like, I think it's time for me to move on, because this is one thing I have a lot of clarity on. And if we can't just kind of, you know, get together. So my current manager is really, really supportive of, you know, yeah, you don't need to put your kids in. Like, there's no reason for you to do that, because what you do, and we align on those. So it was very nice, you know, to have someone and have that support also.
Jess, how important has your management been through the years in helping you craft like your joy in this work?
I think that's so funny. You ended up changing your mind about her, which is hilarious. So my first, like that first go around, I didn't know how to navigate all the emails and DMs and messages. So I, you know, found a manager, you know, somebody recommended somewhere, I don't know. It didn't work out. It was somebody who didn't even live in New York City. They had a huge roster. They just wanted to keep me on the roster to say they had Jess Bliss on the roster. They weren't booking me for anything. They weren't helpful. I got to the point where they would call me. I didn't want to pick up the phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was just like rolling my eyes when I would see it. Oh, they're going to hear that maybe. I don't know. But it is what it is. And so then I went no manager for about a year and a half. And actually, I actually went not interested in pursuing content creation, influencing, all that stuff for about a year because I had a very negative, I would consider it a negative kind of start with that viral moment. People taking that video and selling products overseas and saying here, like, you know, people were screenshotting my lives and saying, this is the product she used, and like all these fake websites. And it was keeping me up at night. And I was like, I don't like this. And so I kind of was like, this is my, I'm just going to post whatever I want. It's not going to have anything to do with hair for a while. And then I actually got really deep into my faith when I started doing all these different things. And I just knew that, like, I have a, there's a reason that I'm being called to do it. And so I said, okay, let me put my big girl clothes back on and get at this and give it another swing. And I'm not going to let anyone bully me out of my position on or offline.
So what's so interesting is you're sitting next to each other and I'm hearing similar themes, even though you're meeting for the first time today. So Kirti, you're saying like, here's the line and I'm not crossing the line. And Jess, you're saying the same thing. Like there was a line, right? Which was, you know, people using your likeness in ways that are not authorized, and I don't want to cross these lines. It sounds like you have to really like be your own business manager in a sense, even though it sounds like you have support, like the rules of engagement are being created by you. Is that true?
Yes, 100%.
So this is what I think is a little different than Hollywood personalities, right? When, you know, there's an up-and-coming potential, like, superstar actor, their management is saying, you're going to be the blonde and you're going to be the best friend and this is how we're going to send you out to castings, right? They're crafting the narrative. You're crafting your own narratives here.
I think social media, if you're not the most authentic version of yourself, people can see it and they will not be able to connect with you. So unless you show up authentically, like most of my videos are in a black tank top, up to a point where most of my friends were like, I cannot watch your videos anymore. Because for me, it's the easiest thing to put one tank top on, and I have... to make my friends happy, I bought them in three different colors. And I was like, does this work? you know, but that's like a part of me. That's a part of my comfort. You know, I don't have to think. I'm not a fashion girly. So recently, you know, a lot of fashion brands reached out. And then it was like, okay, we're going to give it a try. But I still sometimes, if I don't feel comfortable, I'll just go put my black tank top on and I'll create the video. So again, if you're not showing up as your most authentic self, and, you know, I mentioned that I tried to be an influencer before and that failed. That failed because I showed up not as who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried on Instagram growing so many times before. I had this really wonderful account with amazing pictures of Greece. And it didn't go anywhere because that was not me. That was just a part of me who was on the vacation, you know. And I was just constantly trying to show up as someone else. But then I started with no hair done, no makeup, messy me. And, you know, everybody was able to connect because they were like, oh, it seems like this is who she is.
So, you know, Jess, you took, it sounds like, a year and a half off from, like, you know, the machine, right, mm-hmm. of content creation, and yet you're still so successful today, right? Kirti, you said, I'm not going to put my kids in, yet you're so successful today. So what message do you have for other creators who are building their audiences, for building those boundaries and standing behind them? Jess, we'll start with you.
So I would just say, take your time. I think if I wasn't in such a rush the first go around, I wouldn't have made as many mistakes trying to look to the left and look to the right. Well, what is this person doing? What is that person doing? And when I started to think of content creation as a career, it almost kind of gave me a sense of ease. It's like, when I got my degree, I went to school and I studied for 4 years. I just started making content. Mm-hmm. How am I gonna, you know, get mad at myself or feel like I'm not, oh, well, my video didn't perform well enough and this and that. If I've just started, this is a whole new dance, whole new language, whole new world that I'm learning and I'm still getting to use. So take the time to learn. There's so many words and terms that I'm now learning, and it's been really great to just like take my time with it. And so when I think about it as more of like a career, when I go to work, I do my job and those tasks get done, the same task every day. So if your job is to post videos every day, not every time you post a video are you going to get praise from your, oh my gosh, that was amazing, right? But as you continue to work on cool projects, there might be a project that is like, okay, wow, like that, and it gets wonderful feedback. And that mindset shift has really truly helped me. So I hope that helps somebody else. And I think also this whole like be true to yourself, yes, but also don't be afraid to lean into as you grow and you change, because mm-hmm. the Jess that started making content a couple years ago and the Jess that is sitting right here, completely two different Jesses. And so not putting myself in a box, yes, is what everyone says, it's a niche term, everyone always says, like, don't put yourself in a box, pick a niche, all these different things, like, just be yourself, and it's going to happen naturally. As long as you continue to show up for yourself, you're going to build a community, but it takes time. Like, everyone is trying to like get rich quick, and it's like, just take your time and things will happen for you.
Kirti, what is your advice?
You know, a little bit like you said, as you grow, you will change, and accept that change also, because that is really, really important in order to grow. But also, like, listen to your intuition. You already know what's right and what's wrong. And in that moment, sometimes we become greedy as human beings and take money over what's the right decision to be made. In my case, personally, I have felt bad turning it, because it's money, you know, you feel bad about turning it down. But then the cost that came with it never just is enough for me to be like, okay, I'll do that. So I think that feeling alone has given me a lot of satisfaction in what I'm doing. And again, we don't have to grow in a rocket speed. Even if we're growing one step at a time, I'm okay with it.
You both make it sound very easy to take baby steps, but it becomes like a compulsion for people, yeah. right? An obsession with the data, right? An obsession with what they call it, compare and despair, mm-hmm. right? It takes a lot of self-control to be able to say, I'm just going to go for it and take it one step at a time.
Well, data is good. Actually, if you learn to see the data of your social media, that can help you grow, because you're going to see like, oh, this hook didn't work. Mm-hmm. Oh, this didn't work. Oh, maybe the first 3 seconds need to be that. If you learn to understand data, your growth is automatically going to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. But then you don't have to compromise your values and your beliefs in order to grow. And I truly stand by that. You really don't have to.
I agree. And I also think that there's too much pressure around being consistent. Mm-hmm. People throw around this word consistency all the time. And for some, consistency could be you posting once a month on the same day at the same time. And then the next month you post every Saturday. Then the next month it's twice a week. Like, get your footing, get used to it. Discipline is a part of life, right? If you think about exercising or eating right, you're not always going to do the best. Sometimes you're gonna fall off. Sometimes you're gonna miss a couple weeks of the gym. But over time, when you build that muscle, it gets stronger and it gets stronger and it gets stronger. And I also think that there's a lot of pressure for content creators to quit their 9-to-5s as if they're doing things as if they hate what they do. I don't hate what I do. I love what I do, right? Or else I wouldn't be doing it, right? So I think even having a 9-to-5 gives me the ability to say no to projects and things. Like, my rent is paid, me and my cat, we eat good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so thankfully when an opportunity does come, even if it is like a certain amount of numbers, I don't have to say, oh man, well, I need that emergency fund, or, oh man, like rent is going to be due in 2 weeks and I don't have any other partnerships coming through, or, oh, that brand said net 30 and it's been 90 days mm-hmm. and they haven't paid me. I think I should take this. And so it gives me an additional level of flexibility mm-hmm. that I don't think people appreciate enough of. It's almost kind of like, oh, well, if you still work in a 9-to-5, you haven't made it. It's like, okay, everyone's ideas, they can keep them to yourselves. As long as you're happy and you're doing what you need to do and you're well internally, that's all that matters.
This is amazing advice for creators. Now we're going to switch gears to advice to brands, mm-hmm. right? So brands also want something quick, right? They want the quick wins, just like these, you know, younger creators want their career to skyrocket quickly. So Cardi, we'll start with you. What do you really want brands to know about the power of the partnership?
I think give the creator the freedom to create their way. I think that because I know my audience really well, right? So they relate to me the way I show up. I've worked with brands that will be like, put an orange top. Like, people are going to be in shock. Like, this girl wears a black tank top, is coming in this bright color and showing up. Mm-hmm. So it's very unrelatable for my community to see me in, like, something popping orange or a neon color to show up and then try also at the same time. It's not just the change that they're looking. And then it becomes very obvious that I'm trying to, sell a product to them. Because in the end of the day, the brand wants to see the conversion. They want to see the reach. And so if they want that success, give the creator the freedom to create the way their community receives them all the time. I think that's a really important thing.
Jess, what about you?
Yeah, I think main thing with me and brands is this whole script thing. Like, I'm down for a deck or, creative deck, but I have to be able to speak in my voice.
Yeah.
If you send me a script, and I've never, ever talked like that day in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And none of my, it's like, it's too robotic, and I just don't like that. I also think brands should lean more into, like, tailoring the content towards the creator's community. And so if, like, for me, like, I'm all about, like, natural things, right? Don't approach me with, like, a fake, something that is, like, not in the, you want me to sell something weird, like office supplies. I'm like, or a sign. I'm like, I don't understand why you would think that this would resonate, but they're like adamant that they want to work with me. And I'm like, okay, but if that's the case, you have to give me the creative freedom or it's going to be a flop. You can't, if you're outside of my normal world, you have to give me the creative freedom or else we're both going to be embarrassed. So which one do you want? Yeah.
We're going to shortly move into our last phase of the show, which is a fun game. But before we do, let's talk about seeding. Do you like receiving seeding packages? Do you feel like enough is enough? Jess, we'll start with you.
Seeding? Like PR?
Yeah, PR kits,
yeah. Oh, okay. See, listen, I'm still learning the lingo. I love PR. I don't really get that much, so I don't feel like people are like, she's out of touch, she doesn't get that much PR. I don't get as much PR as I think my peers. I see them with mm-hmm. like tables and tables mm-hmm. every month, every week. They have all this stuff and it's like, overflowing. I don't mind it. I think it's really sweet. I also am not a wasteful person. So if you send me some PR, know that some of that is going to be taken to my job or a friend or family, where I usually bring every season a whole bunch of stuff to work and I put it out. It's like, thank you guys for being nice to me and not, and everyone really loves it. So I don't mind it. I think it also should be intentional. I clearly don't use dry shampoo. Why are you sending it to me? You know what I mean? Like, that's my only thing is, like, if it's going to be hair related, let it be in alignment with my hair.
Pretty seating.
No, I don't get too much PR either. Now I actually really like that. The brands have started to send an email if you want to opt in mm-hmm. for the PR. Mm-hmm. And I see what the product is. If I like it, I fill in the form. If I don't like it, I don't. Because mm-hmm. same thing, I focus on clean beauty. So I don't want every brand to send me the product because I'm not going to create content about it. It is not something I'm going to personally use. I do donate all of that stuff. My neighbor works for a charity, and she just takes it for these women that helps them empower. But also, like, I get very overwhelmed very quickly, so I don't want to see the tables full of, you know, PR. It gives me a lot of anxiety. So I think a part of my job that, you know, my husband sometimes is like, you are a creator. It's like a normal thing. I'm like, yeah, but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I got 8 packages. Like, it's, and I get overwhelmed. So I'm trying to teach myself also to kind of pace down, open 2 at a time, and then move on to the next one.
At Base Beauty, we never ever send blind packages. It's like against our philosophy, right? Good. It's like we reach out directly, human to human. Is this of interest? Would you want to learn more? Yeah. Would you like a training on it? Like, really more about, this isn't about checking a box off of a list, because in the end, you're human and the customer who'd be curious about this is a human. So we can't just make this about machines.
Yeah, you know, it's also sometimes a little creepy. It's also criminal justice major. I didn't order anything. Why is there a huge box at my door? You know, it's actually people are weird. You're like, how did this get here? You know, so sometimes it can be a little scary. So at least send someone a heads up, like, hey, by the way, there's packages coming. Even if you want it to be a surprise, like, let me know so I'm not like opening the door, like, what is going on here?
This has been an amazing discussion, and I feel like we could go for hours, but we're going to move on to the most fun phase of our show, which is a game. We're calling it Viral or Vanity. So, you know, you have this very exciting job, and we're going to put a beauty product, trend, or content idea in front of you, and you're going to guess, is it viral or vanity? Viral means it blew up with major views, shares, and sales. Mm. Vanity said, you think, looks cute, but it's not, it's just hype. Right? Okay. This is fun. No right or wrong answers, but you are really in the thick of it every day. So I'm curious to see your thoughts. Okay. So we'll start with you, Jess. Mm-hmm. Viral or vanity? The Drunk Elephant bronzing drops were the must-have beauty product of the year. Do you think this was viral or vanity?
That was viral.
Right. So it sold out everywhere. It was layered into every clean girl routine. Interesting, the challenges of the brands having right now in the marketplace. So you can't stay viral for long, right? Unless you really work at it. Okay, let's go to the next one. Curdy, this is the Dyson Airwrap became a viral beauty investment. Was this viral or vanity?
You know, it could be both. It definitely, they did a very good job in making it viral, but I can give you tons of dupes that do the exact same job. Yeah.
I own one and it's amazing. It makes me so happy. Yeah. Okay, Jess, let's have some more fun here. Using foundation with a milk frother replaces makeup sponges. Is this viral or vanity?
Vanity.
That's true. This is, there were some videos, but no one actually kept doing it. It's messy and impractical. Curdy, okay, tinting your lip balm with eyeshadow became the new way to custom create lip color. Is this viral or vanity?
Absolutely no.
Yeah, this is vanity. It had no stain power. Most people just stick to lipsticks or glosses.
And lip glosses are not that expensive. Even like some clean brands have like.
Jess, let's do this one. Freckle tattoos replace microblading in the semi-permanent trend world. Oh. Viral or vanity?
Okay, I did see this. But I don't think it was, I know certain people are doing it, so I'm going to go vanity. I don't think it's like massive. People are not, right?
Well, in summer it became a thing. It was heavy on TikTok.
Okay.
But I don't think it stayed viral for very long.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's see one more. I'm pretty. So this is using deodorant as a makeup primer to stay matte went mainstream. Is this viral or vanity?
It has to be vanity.
It is vanity.
Yeah.
Dermatologist dragged it. The trend died very quickly.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, the dermatologists were on it. You can use Vaseline. They'll do a much better job than a deodorant.
I love it when the dermatologists get on social media like, don't do this. It's so fun. I love it.
Thank goodness for experts, right?
Yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.